Welcome to Three in the Key.
Blazers lead it by two. Nurkic 13 in the first quarter. CJ drifts to the corner outside to Dame on a Nurkic screen. Nurkic rolls, gathers, and hammers it home with a right hand.
That's how you got to put it down on a Nurk.
Bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North.
You know, when I came here and I said that we want to be in the playoff team, so we're going to be, you know, out there. So we right now there, and I wish those guys happy summer.
With your hosts, Elias Elzain, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Trent.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Three in the Key. Elias Elzain alongside Will Macklin.
What up, what up?
Dave Tripp.
Boo.
And Fuada Hat, of course.
What's going on, man? What was that?
I don't get it. Was my intro bad this week or something?
No, your intro is on point.
You seem a little blue, man. What's going on?
I'm hurting today, guys.
I mean, last week, Kentucky had beaten UCLA, Will.
That was the sad one.
Yeah. Will had the tears. Kentucky player scored 70 in an NBA game, Devin Booker.
Yesterday I was hitting my stride.
Kentucky's in the... Oh, no, they're not. They're out, Dave, or
rough,
something?
Man. And then they your second exited. Team, too. Is that number team? I guess you had three teams or eight. You had six teams in the...
Listen. I picked Oregon at the beginning of the year to win the national championship.
Right. But then Brooksy
Chris
got
Boucher's
hurt.
Knee explodes, and I still love the team.
Your heart exploded at the same time,
A little bit, yeah. So that was the first heartbreak. Up my parents' condo in South Carolina every year, so we're naturally Gamecocks people. You know, and they got their heart broken. Kentucky, I'm still getting over the first emotional shanking I took at North Carolina, and then they turned around and beat my Ducks. So it's been a really rough weekend. A little down.
And now they can beat your Zags.
And no. Come on. I ain't having that. I'm going to tell you right now, I want the Zags to win. But only to take that smirk off of Justin Jackson's face. And Joel Berry, would you roll your ankle into an injury already? I mean, come on. Yeah. I don't want to wish anyone injury, but I wish the hell out of that this year.
There's that. I do want to
not a serious one, just like some nasty swelling.
Right. That's right.
Just so that he didn't have to play against Oregon.
Break your jump shot. I don't care anything, man.
The important thing is each game was so exciting to watch. You know what I mean? Just the outside perspective, it was so much fun. Like, the Ducks, I mean, learn to box out. It's not rocket surgery. Like, figure your life out. You did it twice, man.
I thought you had to, like, go to school and...
Didn't Torian Prince teach you anything last year?
That's twice, though. Two foul shots like that. North Carolina was giving it away.
Of all people, Jordan Bell, too. The guy's been like a horse under the rim all playoff.
Exactly.
That's where you needed Chris Boucher, though. Or Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks got fouled out. They had one player that was 6'8". The other guy in the front was Dylan Ennis. He's 6'2". What are you doing?
If I was coach, I would have played Boucher.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Get out there.
Just throw him in there.
You have a torn ACL and everything, but just get me this rebound.
Yeah, just grab one out of the, two rebounds?
Put 3-5 on it and get out there.
Yeah. That was upsetting, man.
Do you guys have any cortisone on that bench? Come on.
Was it the first time ever that a team won while missing four free throws? Because that's what happened, right? It was four missed free throws to the win.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like that's
the Lakers won a lot of championships, so it can't be the first time. Shaq Daddy missed a few big ones in his
but not down the stretch. I don't get how he's trying to turn it.
I'm trying to soften the blow myself by like flipping it on you.
Elias angry now?
Ah, well.
Come on now.
Misery
get
loves company,
here.
Okay? Yeah. Get that garbage out of here. Misery loves company.
Shaq was missing free throws, but I think they'd be up by double digits still.
Yeah.
The thing with Shaq is he would miss free throws, but he'd still get you like 35 points and like 50 rebounds.
Tripper, tell me how my ass tastes. I deserve one of those right now.
It's not like a Dwight Howard or a DeAndre Jordan who averaged like, you know, 12 or 14 and then missed like 10 free throws. You could actually be like a real legitimate superstar and get you like a 24 and 15 a night. But you're so trashy from the free throw. I understand Shaq was also like wasn't the greatest, terrible though.
No,
but
I agree.
You'd give him the ball inside and he'd be finishing those end ones and he'd be cramming all over you.
Yeah, exactly. It's
I love Shaq. There's no question.
Oh, Shaq.
Feel bad for him.
Statue outside of Staples.
He got passed by LeBron this week, too.
Oh, yeah, LeBron scoring. Passing. Yeah. Did you see Shaq's reaction? I wasn't too happy about that.
Yeah. Did you? That was funny, though, on TNT, if you saw the, what's his name, 3D Dennis Scott, had the told him about it, and Shaq started breaking everything. That was
stuff
funny
around.
Stuff. That was funny. But yeah, he congratulated him on Instagram and everything. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I like seeing Shaq
break
stuff.
Did they play together?
He's a big man. Yeah. He's a big man.
Yeah, he's huge. Have you seen him? Yeah. No, I think I think it's cool, too. Maybe next year, Lakers will raise the banner for 21 wins. That'd be cool. Luke Walton did it.
I don't get how this came a Lakers thing, honestly.
Let's keep it going, guys.
No,
I
like
it.
We were supposed to trash Dave for Kentucky losing and getting out. And somehow,
we turned on you.
I know. You guys are the worst.
Guys,
man.
I'm still
for real,
wounded.
You guys are all fired.
Oh, man.
It's becoming one in the key now.
It's all right. You guys will be good. You get Lonzo next year. Paul George, he'd be a playoff team. You just need to, Mozgov will turn into the guy he once was for those seven games in the playoffs.
That's right. The players,
they
got
to package Mozgov and Luol Deng somewhere, which will never happen. So probably ship them to Mars.
Yeah, but Mars will give you good picks back, probably.
I was talking about the chocolate factory.
The Nets don't need that kind of front court depth. So. Unfortunate.
Brooklyn has been not bad. He's had a few game winners.
Yeah. Brooklyn in general has been surprised.
Yeah. Than the Cavs. So.
The Nets, yeah, they've been better than the Cavs this month.
17-59. Hold up.
Wait up. Hey, they're catching up to the Lakers.
They're coming.
How do you feel about this? Are we scared right now with Cavs falling off like this?
Nope.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw. Well, there was the Bleacher Report picture that they posted on Instagram about LeBron's comment. He was just saying, "Oh, we're just not in a good place." Or what do you say? We've slipped, something like that. Like,
yeah, we're just not a good spot.
Common, quote when your team is
when you're losing.
Not doing that well. And then Stephen Curry liked the picture.
Evidently, wasn't that a mistake? Apparently he's like I was by accident earlier.
I was hacked.
Yeah,
I was hacked.
You could accidentally double tap stuff.
No,
you're that excited to read that quote.
you're accidentally double
tapping your
finger.
True.
Now,
you know?
No, I buy it.
But you can unlike it though too. I think right. So
yeah, and the fact that it was caught. I mean, there was like what 30,000 likes on it, and one was Steph Curry 30.
Yeah, that's like, crazy.
Yeah, that was funny though, and I read something about The Warriors are antagonizing LeBron again. Didn't you learn last year what happens when you do that?
Not a good idea.
Sorry, do you guys not remember? You lost.
There's something about being down 3-1 or whatever.
The beatdown he laid
after winning 73 games.
Exactly. I don't know. Do you think the thing is I think this is going to be a harder road for the Cavs the last three seasons. So especially from what we've seen with the Celtics, the Wizards, and now the Raptors are kind of turning it on. And, I mean, the Cavs are second in the East. So
this is the Cavs' last chance before the Celtics trade for Jimmy Butler, too. That's going to happen. Let's be real.
Totally.
So, like, this is their last year to cruise in the East. And, so good luck. Good luck to you there, Bron.
Though. I think your first round is going to be easy, depending who they...
No, because if the NBA ended today, the regular season ended today, the Cavs would play the Bulls. The
exactly.
Bulls... swept them in the regular season.
Right.
4-0.
The TNT Bulls swept them. I love my Bulls, but the TNT Bulls and the regular season, just normal Bulls, are totally different
teams.
What
would happen if they play on ESPN?
Exactly. No, but I think that they do it on purpose and be like, oh, the Bulls and Cavs. All seven games are going to be on TNT.
Just to put it down on the Cavs.
And the air conditioner's broken, man.
It's super crazy.
Chips are stacked against you.
Yeah, that's right.
But the Cavs always... somehow at this time of year, play subpar kind of. I think LeBron loves that.
I don't get
that.
It, though. Like, how is a team with that much talent not
I think LeBron
bad defensively.
I almost want to say they do it on purpose. Like, oh, the chips are stacked against us.
Yeah.
Lower the expectations.
They're doubting us
for sure.
Again.
Oh, they
I'm
like
LeBron
that, huh?
James. I'm going to come out and, wear my Ultimate Warrior t-shirt.
You know what, though? I wouldn't want to lose home court to the Celtics. Like, there's a bit of history in that building. Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing it out there. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty successful team historically and pretty, aggressive fan base in Boston. I wouldn't want to play the majority of my games there in a series.
No. Or Toronto. Well, Toronto wants revenge, too. All summer 17th.
I'm a little bit less concerned about Toronto if I'm the Cavs. I got to be honest with you. They are the North.
I'm sorry.
But if Kyle Lowry comes back, they've been playing well. I think it's like 13-6 since his injury, since the All-Star break. It's not bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You didn't think they would be this good. DeRozan's
they
kicked it up.
They started stinky, but they've picked it up.
Ibaka's hitting it from long range consistently
well, they're learning,
almost.
Yeah, they added two huge pieces. That obviously wasn't going to happen immediately, but the fact that they're winning games, that's good for them. They won their last game. Yeah, who they played.
But they sure did. They sure did.
Oh, yeah, Indiana, that's Indiana. What it was. Yeah, Indiana. That was
Indiana and Miami right now are fighting for that spot there. And yeah. The Bulls are in there as well, so they could drop out. But
they look like they like playing together, too, the Raps right now. Like, I notice Ibaka has really, really become a part of the team for sure. Like, for starters, he's fighting for them. I mean, that's handy when you start dropping some bombs in an altercation. But they're really forming a good unit. I think Dwayne Casey, you can't say enough about that guy as a coach. Really motivates everybody to play together.
Oh, yeah, and those pieces, Tucker and Serge, have totally worked out.
Yeah, it's like they almost... You put them in the lineup, and boom, it's like you
played all year.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see when Kyle comes back. I'm still not down in the Cavs if they finish second or first in the East. They only finished first last year in the East. Remember the first year when LeBron came back? Atlanta was first. They won like 60-something games, right?
That
they
was went the big on
that,
Atlanta year, yeah.
Yeah, the big Atlanta year, only to get swept in the East Finals, I believe it was.
To the Cavs.
The Cavs
just owned the Atlanta Hawks forever.
And I think they own the city of Atlanta.
Yeah, they do. They have partial like ownership or whatever. But it's funny to watch the Cavs and then flip it to the other way. And the Warriors have been nice without Durant.
Yep.
And that's the interesting thing is, like, Durant probably, same thing, just fit right in the mold.
10 straight wins.
Exactly. And look how Curry's feeling it. When you bring a guy like Durant, he's going to command so much attention on the defensive end for other teams that Curry's going to be even more open taking all these shots, you know?
Exactly.
So it's going to be crazy. I think Klay Thompson has picked it up a little bit as well. Draymond is their heart and soul on the defensive end.
Definitely.
It looks like he's going to get the Defensive Player of the Year award. I think it's leaning towards him. Iguodala has been amazing. Averaging 5 more points per game since Durant's been out, playing his best basketball, obviously at the best time. And the Warriors want it, man. They want to get to the finals, and they want the Cavs in the finals. They don't want
anyone else.
They were
pretty good without Durant last year, though. Let's be
honest. Of course.
Memory serves me best. I think they were a decent team last year.
That's the thing. Yes, he did. In an insane way, KD going down was a great thing for this team because – since adding him, it's obviously he's the best player on that team. They've been amazing. But now without him, they're not the same team as last season.
Right.
So they needed to learn to play without Durant.
Yeah, they've been tested.
Now that they've been playing without KD, they've figured out, okay, this is I'm Stephen Curry. This is what I need to do. I'm Draymond Green. This is what I need to do.
And even with less from the last 2 years.
Exactly. No Bogut. You know, when you don't have Bogut, you're
defensively.
No Barbosa. Yeah.
Spates,
no Maurice
Spates.
Patrick McCraw, a bunch of young players.
Yeah, Ian Clark. Those guys are hitting shots.
Still doing his thing,
McGee has been all right. He had like 13 points in 5 minutes the other day. It was.
Yeah.
I know he's
solid,
catching lobs and stuff like that, but he's there on defensive end too.
Oh,
he's
going
not
to the
good
Warriors
defender, but like
helped him a lot.
He's
that usually doesn't happen. Yeah, going
no,
to the Warriors
well, I mean,
really
just,
shooting your career.
You can fit well, right?
Yeah, exactly. Steve Kerr, he's the fastest in the history of North American sports to reach 200 wins.
Wow.
Like, could this 238 games. He's only lost 38 times.
38 out of 238.
Well, all those wins that Luke Walton got him also counted towards Steve Kerr,
way. Oh, it did.
Elias wants him to go over the Lakers, I guess.
Then he'll have,
no, not even that. I'm just saying, like, those wins go
you
to
should
Steve
put them
Kerr.
In their
just putting it out there.
Yeah, Walton technically has 32 wins.
And a share of a Coach of the Year award, okay?
Always,
come on.
Always about
the Speaking of the Lakers, though, there's another development, and I'm not trying to throw shade here. How do you feel about the Suns losing 11 in a row and catching up for that second to dead last spot in the lottery
That'd
race?
That'd be scary, eh, for you?
I mean, we still got the lead. We're at bottom of the West, man. We're 21-55.
They're putting up 70 points a game, and they're still imploding.
But Boston's got the Brooklyn pick, so...
Okay, yeah. But Phoenix has the Phoenix pick.
That's true. They didn't trade that yet.
And like when they shake up the lottery, if LA falls to 4, we could be in.
If LA falls to 4, it goes to Philly, and then Philly will have like 4, and they'll have another good lottery pick.
Imagine so Philly takes Monk and Fox out of Kentucky, and that's their backcourt. Oh,
no, Simmons is going to be their point guard. They've made that clear.
Wow.
And why are you going to draft Fox, a guy who can't shoot? Although he did well in the tournament. And
yeah,
he
no,
did
I think they need
39.
A shooter. I think Monk's a perfect fit, though, for Philly.
Monk, I like him. We spoke about that, Dave. Oh. Also, one thing about the Warriors, before I forget, they're 11-0 since Klay Thompson signed a toaster.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And DeMar DeRozan just signed a toaster. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh.
You'll try anything, eh?
Yeah. A fan came with a toaster. I don't know where they were in Toronto or whatnot.
You do what you got to do.
And DeRozan signed it, obviously.
I signed a new toaster thing. Every night. I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
The heat check. Heat check.
It's true.
So, yeah. And then the Cavs are like, 9-12 or 8-11, something like that.
And they haven't signed a toaster.
No, but since Kyrie Irving said the earth is flat.
Ooh. Oh, that's right. Yeah. He still thinks it's flat?
He's messing with the earth, man. It's.
I don't know what Kyrie thinks. That guy's out to lunch. Like, oh, man.
Shoot first point guards, they're tough. You know what I mean? you like them, but they don't pass you the ball.
He's not saying that the earth is flat. He's just saying people need to do more research. Like, for example, look at pictures of the earth from space.
That's
enough research there. Does he not have Google images?
It would help you determine if it's flat.
Have you seen Apollo 13?
Yeah,
that's my question. Or like, what's that McConaughey movie where they go to space? Any of them would
all
do.
All of them.
Any
space
of them
Cowboys,
would do. Yeah.
E.T., all of them.
E.T. would do it. Because, you can see the moon.
Exactly,
the moon isn't
flat
either. Just throwing it out there, Kyrie. Anyway, back on track. Okay.
Remember, guys, you can get a hold of us by email at the3nikki@gmail.com, on Facebook at 3nikki, follow on Twitter at BasketPod, Instagram, the3nikki, and you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and of course on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, as well as Google Play.
Yes, sir.
Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes and Google Play as well. And check out our website for everything. All the links are there. 3nikki.ca. Today's program, the national championship game is set. We've talked about that. Gonzaga, for the first time in school history, are there in the championship game. North Carolina, we didn't hear your boos loud enough. Thank you.
That's North Carolina was the proper cue.
They're back in it for the second consecutive year.
Yes.
Boom. They obviously lost in stunning fashion.
Yeah, well, they won in stunning fashion.
Jenkins!
Here,
He got such a Jenkins! How about that kid?
And Jenkins was at the game. Jenkins was at the game supporting his brother, right?
Yeah.
He plays for North Carolina.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
Wearing a North Carolina shirt. I don't know how I felt about that.
That was weird. It doesn't matter. They beat North Carolina. I think it was different if they lost.
Is it like wearing it like I own you?
Exactly. Yeah. It was an ownership
An ownership.
He's probably pretty hurt. They could have repeated this year, but not to be.
We speak with Oliver Maroney of Dime on the Portland Trailblazers battling for that eighth seed. They had a big win against Denver earlier this week to put them up. They had another win against Phoenix last night, so they're now a 500
and
ball
now
club.
Losing Nurkic,
the big man curse in Portland.
It's tough, yeah. Man. He
and
looks
Nurkic,
so good.
He's so good. Is it? And then he had those funny comments wishing the Denver Nuggets to have a happy summer. Classic.
Spoke too soon.
Yes. So we'll speak with him about the Blazers and Oregon. Of course, he's in Northwest. How are they taking that?
Yeah, they're taking over. They beat the Nuggets there the other night, and it's looks like they might. Sneak in that eighth spot.
Yeah, it looks like it. Also, the 2017 Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame inductees have been announced. 11 of them getting in. T-Mac, former Raptor player.
Oh, yeah. He was played for the Magic and the Rockettes and all those guys.
And the Spurs.
The Rockettes, yes.
Seven-time All-Star, two-time scoring champ. Bill Self, 2008 national champion.
Love it. One of the greats in college basketball right now.
Kansas. Once I, remember that game, I see D. Rose and Cal, and then I see Bill Self and Chalmers hitting that three.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. That was a great game going to overtime, and then Kansas winning. Rebecca Lobo, she is a champ with UConn. How about their women's team, 111-game winning streak coming to an end in overtime as well against Mississippi State. Dak Prescott, did you see him?
He threw his hat in the air.
The quarterback for the Cowboys in attendance going nuts. She's also a 96 Olympic gold medal.
Kemba Walker was upset, but yeah.
111 games, though. Come on.
Muffet McGraw, Robert Hughes, Jerry Krause. Six-time champion with the Bulls.
Jerry Krause, the late Jerry Krause,
passed
away.
Yeah, the late six-time champion with those Bulls. Had picked every single player, yeah. He's in there. George McGinnis, Nikos Galas, a Greek player.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, league champion, MVP.
Never heard of him.
Two members of the Globetrotters, Zach Clayton and Manny Jackson.
Still no generals in the hall. What the hell?
Yeah, what's up with that?
I mean, I think one of them will eventually get there.
They're good hands, you know?
Yeah, true.
And Tom Jernstedt, executive, former NCAA vice president, father of the Final Four, is also inducted into this year's Hall of Fame. We'll get into the discussion about the hall, how maybe some players we think maybe shouldn't be there or borderline getting in. What is the hall? What do you have to do to get to the Hall of Fame?
Apparently you have to make an all-star game.
Be a scoring champion.
That's about it.
But yeah, because the funny thing is everybody in this class is a champion at something. I don't know what T-Mac did in high school, but everyone else is at least like a national champion or a
ABA champion.
ABA champion or an NBA champion.
NCAA.
Or president of something or finding or figuring out what the Final Four is.
The Harlem Globetrotters winning like
every
losing.
Year, it seems like. Yeah.
Every game.
That's true. You know what? Multiple champions. I'm surprised they haven't nominated more of them.
I thought the Generals were due.
Never should have placed that bet.
Take the ball off his finger.
He's bringing a ladder in. Unbelievable.
I wonder what the point spread would be for a Generals and Globetrotters.
Someone bet at UConn, Mississippi State, $18,000 on UConn to win $300, and he lost.
Wow. Oh, my God.
That's so funny.
Oh, my God.
If you're betting $18,000, I'm pretty sure your life is good, okay?
Yeah.
Just to win $300?
No, man, that's all you had left.
I would have bet $18,000. At least I would feel like,
why do you need $300?
I would have bet the $18,000 on Mississippi State
I had to mortgage my Subaru to get this bet in. And
you probably could have put $300 on Mississippi and got $18,000 back. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be okay.
I have $18,000, need $300 more.
What should I do?
He's going to end up on crowdfunding websites trying to get his cash.
Need money to pick up my Subaru from the depot.
Kemba, come on, find this guy. Make it happen. He just went out on a limb for your gang.
Oh, 18,000 seems like a lot. How much would you got back? Oh, just 300. Oh, okay, that seems super worth it.
Here's $300.
Do you need money or?
Kemba makes 18 grand tying up his shoes before practice. He's doing okay.
Such a waste of money.
That's hilarious. I can't believe a person did that.
So silly.
Yeah, that's well.
But yeah, that's the life. But yeah, we'll talk about T-Mac if he deserves it, is what I'm saying. Because that will be probably the third segment we'll go into that.
Yeah, we'll look forward to it. The Hall is an interesting discussion every time it comes up. Chris Webber got passed up on, so we'll talk about some
He's
other guys.
He's the greatest if you hear him on
NBA TV. According to himself, he is the best.
Oliver Maroney joins us next to talk Northwest basketball. Pacific Northwest.
Pumped.
Let's go.
Second one, no. And makes! Carolina saves it on the glass. How about that? The best rebounding team in college basketball is headed to the title game.
Welcome back to Three in the Key.
Hello and welcome back inside the key. And one edition, of course, Elias Ozane alongside Dave Tripp, Will Macklin, and Fuad Ahad. And we're happy to be joined once again by Oliver Maroney of Dime Magazine. Oliver, how's it going?
Not bad. How are you guys?
Good. You're up early on the West Coast for us. We thank you. It must be tough. We're a little sad. Oregon Ducks, not many people had them going to the Final Four because of the Chris Boucher injury, but they had a solid team, obviously a really talented team, and they made it all the way to the national semifinal, losing to UNC. And they just, I don't know, was it the whole box out thing that really cost them the game at the end? Or in your eyes, was there something else that they could have done and possibly been playing in the title game tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, they had a tough matchup. UNC was not only bigger than Oregon, but they had obviously some size differential in other positions, not just the center and power forward position. I think Justin Jackson was probably the difference maker in this game. Obviously, Dylan Brooks didn't come to play. He came. He was there. He was... I thought he was actually very good on defense, but unfortunately his offense just didn't get going, and it really hampered Oregon's success. And you could tell they were a little bit shell-shocked when North Carolina made their run right before the end of the first half.
Yeah, another guy, Mr. March, Tyler Dorsey, didn't show up the way a lot of people, I think, expected him to. heartbreaking. I've been following Oregon all year. I think we had John in the summer last year, and I told our listeners that I thought Oregon was the national championship winner this year. Maybe because I'm Canadian and I love all the Canadians on the team. Dylan Ennis's final game in college basketball, Chris Boucher's final game. Dylan Brooks, who made me fall in love with him last tournament. I'm pretty crushed right now, Oliver. I got to be honest with you. I can relate to your Northwesterners.
One tier.
But do you think that having Chris Boucher in this tournament would have been enough to push them into that next category and maybe really fight with teams like North Carolina? I was so blown away when they took it to Kansas like that. I figured North Carolina would be a peach. What do you think? Chris Boucher, would he be the difference maker?
Yeah, I think so. I think he would have been a difference maker, and I think they would have probably made the national title game had they had him. I mean, look, they just needed one more big man to potentially box out a couple more times. And it was not necessarily, like you mentioned, I don't think it's necessarily Jordan Bell's fault that he didn't box out. I mean, you know, players miss those all the time. It's just in that crucial of a moment, it was just highlighted a lot further. They could have had opportunities all throughout the game. I mean, they were getting beat on the glass, it felt like, for the whole game. And I know Oregon was leading in rebounds about midway through. But if they had Boucher, that's another long body that they could at least get some extra rebounds for. And I think, you know, Jordan Bell could tip out to, specifically in a lot of those scenarios. Jordan Bell had an opportunity to get him and just tried to tip him out to someone else, and nobody was there. So,
and not having,
I think they had opportunities, and they just didn't capitalize. And
having Brooks foul
Boucher,
out as well.
They're making a national championship run, and I think they're definitely in the contention of winning the national championship too.
Williams also said if it wasn't for Meeks, it wouldn't even been a basketball game. I don't know what that means, they would have played something different or whatever. But it's like, talk a little more about Meeks and this North Carolina team and how much of a shot do you think they have going into Arizona against Gonzaga?
Yeah, I think they're a tough matchup for anybody because they've got so many big guys. You looked at Oregon and you thought, okay, well, they're going to be the team that's going to beat them on the glass unless Jordan Bell has another one of those games like he did against Kansas. And I just think they're tough to guard 1 through 5. I mean, look, Joel Berry played pretty well considering the fact that both of his ankles were pretty screwed up. You have, obviously, Justin Jackson, who I think is an elite-level talent. I'm very impressed by what he did yesterday and also just prior into the tournament. I think that he's very, very hard to match up against. He's tall, lanky, can shoot the three ball very well, as we saw yesterday. And I think that, Gonzaga has a lot of problems that they pose as well. So it's going to be a good matchup, but I do think UNC has a very good shot at beating Gonzaga.
All right, speaking with Oliver Maroney of Dime Magazine, I want to ask, out of all these guys that played for Oregon, do you see any of them going in the first round potential draft picks, or do you see this team coming back and being pretty much the same for next season?
Well, I can speak to what I kind of know. I know there were a lot of NBA scouts this year at Oregon games that I saw, and many of them being those late first round teams. Talk about like the Warriors, the Spurs, the Utah Jazz, I heard were one of them as well. And I know that, I mean, basically from what I heard and from what I gather from most of the scouts and people that I talk to, it's a late first round, early second round for a guy like Dylan Brooks, depending on obviously the measurables and what he does at the combine as well, if he decides to compete in that. So I think Dylan Brooks could potentially be an NBA player. I think that this year, I think he'd be stupid to forego another season, but you just never know. Look, I mean, he stayed there an extra year when people thought he was going to come out last year. So Dorsey is an elite-level talent as far as shooting is concerned. I would not be surprised to see him go last year. Obviously, he was very close to leaving the University of Oregon as well. So those two players, I think, are obviously big names. And then Jordan Bell, I've heard, is 50-50. So I don't really know where he stands right now. I think after this loss, that may give him more of the benefit of the doubt to stay than to leave if he feels like the onus is on him, which it sounded like last night. That's what he felt like. So I would not be surprised to see Jordan Bell stay or go. But I think Brooks and Dorsey, it's going to be hard to convince them to not go into the draft this year.
Yeah, we spoke to you last year. We had you on the show pretty much right after they decided to pull out of the draft. Dorsey and Brooks were both testing the waters. What do you think about a guy like Chris Boucher, who obviously had the ACL injury, leading up to it, but he's such a unique talent, a guy that, you know, shot blocking, three-point shooting, he can pretty well do everything that the new NBA is asking for. Do you think he's going to be a guy that's going to get a chance, if not drafted, maybe a training camp offer going into the season next year?
No doubt about it. I think that he has all the talent. I mean, look, he's got all the measurables, right?
Yeah.
He's tall, lanky, can play that stretch four position. The problem I have with him is just defensively, if he matches up against a bigger guy, he seems to struggle. So he's going to have to work on kind of getting a little bit more bulked up.
For sure.
And figure out a way of strengthening his body just as a whole, I think. But if he can do that and strengthen his three-point ability, I think that he could be a deadly, you know, stretch four, you know, training camp kind of guy, potential late second round, or one of those guys that you see kind of out of the radar, I guess you could say, on the draft night, but is one of those players that's probably looked at by three or four teams to bring him in for a 2 or 3 year contract if he plays well in training camp. So wouldn't be surprised to see him. And then the other kid, you know, look, Dylan Ennis is old, but he's got experience like none other. And I think that, you know, him knowing his brother's in a league.
Yep.
And I would not be surprised one bit to see Dylan Ennis either not necessarily drafted, but get a very good opportunity or look in multiple training camps because of what he brings.
Even
he
in the NBA, he's got the body to push towards
he's
the
got
net.
The body.
He's so
he's
big.
Let me tell you, a team that's definitely going to be knocking at him trying to get him for a training camp invite or play for the summer league is probably going to be the Toronto Raptors. You know, local
no
kid.
No doubt about it.
Local kid.
No
they always like it. To show support to the Canadian talent. So that's one guy that's that's one team that's going to look at him for sure. Before we move on to talk about the Blazers, Oliver, I got to ask you, you had a bet going on with Brandon Wright. Tell us about that, and obviously you're on the losing end of that one.
Well, actually, a couple days ago, I think it was me who texted him, and I was like, hey, your alma mater, it's going down against Oregon. You want to put a wager on this thing? And he texted me back. He said, 82-74, UNC is going to win this thing. And he says, sure, let's do it. And anyways, I said, you know, we texted back and forth, had a little bit of banter, and finally decided on the idea of doing a a bet, basically. If his team wins, I have to get a UNC jersey, put it on, take a picture with it, do the whole thing. And if Oregon won, then he would have to do the same. So I am now indebted to him. I have to go get a UNC jersey, put it on, take a picture of it, and say how great UNC is.
What player are you going to get?
I think I'm going to have to get his. That's
kind of
his?
Okay.
That's kind of the running joke here. So number 34, North Carolina, is what I'm going to have to
That's fair.
So he would have got a Oregon Oliver Maroney jersey, I'm guessing.
Number 69.
I guess so. You'd have to get one, right? You'd have to find a way.
Well, we'll look forward to that picture. Moving on to the other team in the Pacific Northwest that we chat with you about, the Portland Trailblazers. They look like they have command of that eighth and final spot in the Western Conference. Do you see them falling off a little bit now with Nurkic's injury, or do they have that locked in? Are they the eighth seed? They're going to play the Warriors, what it looks like, in the first round, or does Denver still have a chance to come crawl up there and try to take it over?
Denver has a chance, but a very slight chance at this point. Look, there's only 7 games left, I believe, at this point in the season for both teams. Denver plays tonight without Will Barton, without Jameer Nelson, and I believe Darrell Arthur is still out as well. They're going to have struggles if those three players are out, no matter what. And I think, you know, Portland being without Yusuf Nurkic, the Bosnian beast, the player that nobody expected to be doing what he did, even though he's injured, this Blazers team is rolling. And they played pretty well against the Phoenix Suns last night, although be it, it's the Phoenix Suns. It's not an elite-level NBA team. But I think when you look at this team overall, I think they've got enough firepower to keep it going and at least stick to that 8 seed. It's going to be tough to go from, you know, 2 games back with 7 to go.
Yeah, definitely. It was the Phoenix Suns last night, but, I mean, they still put up 130 points, and that's huge against any NBA team. But moving forward for the Blazers, are they going to stay as that 7th, 8th seed team? Like, what's going to happen with them if – do they need to make a change? Is Nurkic going to be the guy when he comes back next season that's going to bring them up to a higher seed going into the playoffs? Or things I've heard is CJ McCollum, Dame Lillard, one of those guys needs to go. What are your thoughts on that?
So I'll start with that latter portion of things. CJ McCollum and Dame have a very good relationship off the court and on the court. There's almost no way that I see the Blazers parting ways with one or either of those guys at any point in time, just because they have them locked up. And if you're a smart GM in this league, whether or not they necessarily mesh as well as they possibly can, you take those two talented young players that you have that are locked up for 4 or 5 years over just a bunch of, you know, mediocre players, I guess you could say, and some draft picks. They are proven talents in the NBA, and when you have a proven talent in the NBA, you keep it, or you at least try to keep it, as long as they have a good attitude, which they do. So for that reason, like I said, I don't see that going anywhere. Yusuf Nurkic, here's the problem with Yusuf. Next season, he's going to be a free agent after the season ends, and the Blazers really don't have any cap space to work with. So this draft, they have 3 first-round draft picks, and they also have some very high-end contracts, I guess you could call it. Evan Turner, Allen Crabbe, some of these players are on very big contracts and lucrative contracts at that for a long period of time. And I think you're going to see the Blazers wheel and deal during the draft process, potentially throwing in one of these first-round picks and a player to offload some of this cap space so they can keep Nurkic if they do feel they want to move that route. Or if they don't, they're going to have 3 first-round draft picks on the youngest NBA team already. So they've got a ton of versatility here in what they want to do, and there's a ton of flexibility as well. I think Neil Olshey is probably one of the top 5 to 10 GMs in the league based on what he's been given and being in a small market. So I wouldn't be so shocked to see him make some moves that have been overlooked or overshadowed, either drafting players, moving up in the draft, taking 2 of those first-round picks and moving up to a higher spot. A guy like Josh Jackson stands out to me just because of his versatility at the small forward position, and now we're looking way into the draft and where they go and everything else. But they're going to be looking for, I think, a 3 position in the draft at some point in time, whether it's early rounds, late rounds, whatever. They need a 3 player who can defend, who can shoot the ball, and I think if they get that, they're going to be very difficult to beat in the Western Conference next season.
I agree with what you're saying. O'Shea's made some really savvy moves. Yep, yep. You look at the Nurkic trade, getting a first-round pick in that as well is crazy.
The first-round pick was the most valuable portion of that the trade happened.
I know, and you look at it now, and the guy's making Jokic look like a hobo in comparison. It's crazy. And Plumlee hasn't even looked bad in Denver either, right? Like, obviously misused, I think, a little bit, but it's just crazy. And you mentioned the wings that they have. They've got a lot of money to a bunch of average kind of wings. They're going to have to move some of them. Do you think they'll be able to find a taker for a contract like Evan Turner or Allen Crabbe?
Well, I think you talk about teams like Denver. You talk about teams like Philadelphia. You talk about some of the teams that aren't even at the cap floor right now. They need
Brooklyn.
To get there some way, shape, or form. So they may take on an Allen Crabbe. I think Allen Crabbe's probably the most movable piece of the bunch just because of his dollars and how young he still is. And I think teams look at him as potentially being that third piece of a, you know, good playoff team, potential championship team. And the Blazers don't utilize him that way right now. He's probably a 4th or 5th wheel, I guess you could say, on this team just because of all the different depth and versatility issues they possess. So I would not be surprised one bit to see him be moved with like a first round pick to a Philadelphia, to a team that's willing to take on an extra contract.
Before we let you go, Oliver, at the beginning of the season in our preseason show, basically, I had the Blazers. I had high hopes. They surprised everyone last year. I thought they were going to be a top 3, top 4 team in the Western Conference.
You picked them number 2, actually.
I said three. And that hasn't worked out. What? And you addressed
behind the Lakers.
Relax now. let me just ask my question, guys.
Sorry, man.
Sorry, Oliver.
They always want to, you know, hate
troll
on the Lakers and troll.
We lob the smack talk, yeah.
My God. Anyways, Oliver, back on track here. I had them going. I had them finishing, up top in the West. You talked about they need someone on the wing that's versatile, that's be able to defend. What has it been this year that hasn't really clicked for this team? Like, I've watched a whole bunch of games. It seems like down the stretch, sometimes they can't make buckets, or early in the game, they just get behind. Sometimes it's defense, sometimes it's offense. What has been the biggest issue, and you think that they need to improve from, like, maybe a coaching standpoint in terms of the game with these guys that they have right now?
I think I think there's a lot of things you could point to and say they need to do better on. But I think the number one thing in the NBA is making sure your players are comfortable with the roles they're in. Al-Farouq Aminu goes out injured to begin the season. That really puts a swing in things because now you really don't have that four that you were expecting. And they didn't have anybody anywhere near Aminu's like stature and versatility-wise on the court. So they end up putting Vonleh in there, which just doesn't – unfortunately, Vonleh isn't Aminu and Aminu isn't Vonleh. And they do totally different things. And the only reason the Blazers even made the playoffs last year is because Stotts moved Aminu to the four position. And that's what worked. So the Blazers were expecting him to be in the lineup. He goes out. Then they have issues. And then you see, obviously, the rim protection issues show up as well. So I think there's a number of things you can point to and say, look, this and this and this and this. But bottom line for me, I think they got off to a rough stretch. They added pieces they really didn't need to add. Like an Evan Turner, to me, it's great that they added him, but they didn't need to keep Allen Crabbe if they added Evan Turner, if that makes any sense.
It's amazing how the Evan Turner signing hurts the Celtics and hurts the Trailblazers.
Yeah, it's super weird. Yeah. And it was weird because, like, obviously, Stevens knew how to play with Turner. He knew how to use Turner, and he needs the ball in his hands the whole game.
Helps when your point guard can't pass.
that's half the battle.
Yeah.
Well, and it was very smart. I mean, look, it logically, it made sense to me. If Dame or CJ gets injured, you have a natural ball handler that can bring the ball up the court with a guy like Dame or CJ. And that made sense. The problem was is when you match the Allen Crabbe offer, then you have Allen Crabbe, Evan Turner, Dame, CJ, and then you've got to try and sprinkle in minutes here for other guys.
And none of your guards got injured. Everybody else did. So
that's just, yeah, exactly.
There's more problems. We need more guards.
You can't put Turner at the four. So
no, unfortunately not. So that's really the issue, though. That's the underlying issue. They weren't comfortable. Like, Evan Turner had no idea what his role was at the beginning of the season, and I don't think anybody can convince me otherwise.
Yeah.
I don't think Allen Crabbe really knew what his role was, but he was getting paid a bunch more money, so the expectations for him were high because he was getting paid like a starter and wasn't playing as a starter.
Right.
And I think a lot of that goes into, like, the NBA mindset, the emotional side of the game that people really don't talk about very often. You can point out statistics. Dame wasn't that great. CJ, you know, the here and there and everywhere, and Mason Plumlee's a terrible rim protector. Sure, yeah, all those things are true. But when players really aren't bought in or understand what their roles are, there's no way the system will work. And I think that was where the wrench kind of got thrown into the wheel. And I just don't think they had everything rolling. And now, obviously, you have Nurkic. It fits. It works. It looks good. Even without Nurkic now, they have Aminu back fully healthy. Evan Turner's healthy. They've had a number of injuries that they didn't have last season. So I think injuries are part of it. You can make that to blame. But I think also just not having the depth there in certain positions and areas was a huge key to the Blazers' faults here.
All right, before you leave, Oliver, over under one win versus the Warriors in the game one matchup, or game first round matchup.
Oh, can I get a push on this one?
Oh, well, game and a half, game and a half.
it's going to be very hard to beat this team. Like, if people are like, oh, the Warriors, they're not playing great. They just won, like, what, 10 straight, 11 10 straight now? Just,
yeah, Kevin Durant's going to be rusty coming back. He's still Kevin Durant.
Gonna be rusty.
Okay. They got to be shooting threes from the bench.
Yeah. You better hope Chris Paul and Griffin get hurt again.
I take a rusty KD over a healthy Evan Turner. Sorry. Throwing that out there.
I'll take a rusty KD over 98% of the league.
Yeah. One knee.
Oliver Morini of Dime Magazine, thank you so much for joining us on The Key. It's always a pleasure.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Hello and welcome back inside The Key. Elias is in alongside Will Macklin.
What up?
Oh, okay. Dave Tripp.
Yeah, I'm back.
And Flat Ahead.
What's going on, man?
Alrighty. We're all set, man. I'm ready for this. I got more questions for you folks.
Okay.
It'll be all right. First one, it's kind of a little too early to call, but I really want to get into playoffs. It's just like so.
Well, we're right around the corner.
I know, that's what I mean. The one question I have for you guys is best shot for the bottom four to upset a top four team, East or West? Who do you think's got the best shot? I know the Clippers, Jazz is really easy to look at, or even the Hawks and the Bucks and Wizards. But other than that, who do you guys who likes the role?
I mean, the Thunder can technically beat the Rockets. They played them very well this year, except for the last game. Most recently, when the Rockets really killed them in a battle of the MVPs between Harden and Russell Westbrook. But earlier in the year, there was a couple of games where Westbrook really down the stretch hit some shots and won them the game. So I think the Thunder and Rockets 3-6 could be interesting, but that's not a set in stone yet. Obviously, the Grizzlies are right there, only a game and a half behind them.
And we were talking Bulls Cavs earlier, if that's even possible. But
that is a possibility if you look at the regular season. But as soon as the regular season's over and you go into the playoffs,
different story.
Yeah, 0-0. It's different. Everyone's way more focused, obviously. And if the Bulls and Cavs played in the first round, I would bet my money on the Cavs to sweep the Bulls. Sorry, Fuad.
Hey, man. No need to apologize. I agree. I'm excited. That would be an incredible series to watch. If I see the Bulls in the playoffs, that would be so amazing. It makes the playoffs so much better for me to watch them. But, yeah, no, they're getting either swept. They might win one. If Jimmy Butler goes ham, does his thing, they might win one.
One game.
But, yeah, no, I don't see much happening.
And Mirotic has been on another level lately. He's been really good.
He stepped his game up, and I've been pretty upset at him, but no, the way he's been playing lately, I'm surprised, and I'm glad he's gotten it back, because he's
better late than never.
Exactly, better late than never. He's supposed to have a great future, so I'm happy for him. I'm obviously picking the Blazers over the Warriors.
It seems like that's the common choice.
Oliver Moroney right there.
Sexy pick this year.
No, that's never gonna happen. But the Heat and the Celtics, if it stayed like this, 1-8. You know, maybe the Heat do have a chance. They're play with a lot of heart, man. They don't quit. Now, would I pick the Heat to beat the Celtics? I don't think so.
What about Waiters Island?
I like Waiters Island. Also, Syracuse Orange,
by the way.
But I don't know. I don't think it would happen. But I don't think it would be like a 4-0. It'd probably be like a 6-game series, I think.
Yeah.
4-2.
Our listeners might not like this. I see the Raptors potentially stumbling in the playoffs in the first round this year. Depending on who they match up with, it could be the Bucks, it could be the Hawks. There's a couple teams in contention for that spot. I just maybe seeing Kyle Lowry is a guy that when he's not on top of his game, he's sometimes terrible. Okay. And if he comes back and he's not ready to go and they give him the minutes, they give him the ball with no time left on the clock, he might miss that shot.
Totally. And we've seen DeRozan go to sleep in the playoffs.
But we've also seen Lowry hit it from half court.
It's true. Hey, it's true.
Didn't they? But at least he bought them an extra 5 minutes.
So true.
I think that it just could happen. Maybe I still think that all of the favorites advance in the first round of the playoffs,
really?
To be honest. Well, I think that the team that's in the most trouble, I don't want to pick the Clippers beating the Jazz.
No one wants that. My serious pick would be Memphis over San Antonio. I think that's a serious possibility.
They've done it before.
Yeah, exactly.
They've done but they're not going to do it again.
I don't think so either.
It's doubtful, but if we're having the conversation.
I don't know. Kawhi's going to have his hands full with Chandler Parsons. It could be,
a guy that's on the bench.
Yeah.
All right, next question. It could be for who has the hardest road, the Cavs or the Warriors?
Warriors by far.
By far?
I would agree.
Honestly, I was looking at the standings. It's not like the East is tremendously worse.
I agree. No, it's way closer than last year.
I think the competition is better in the West. The Spurs are better than any team in the East. The Rockets are arguably better than any team in the East other than the Cavs. Like, I think the Spurs are better than the Cavs.
I think best case scenario, the Warriors are looking at either the Clippers or the Jazz in the second round. You know what I mean? That's a nasty matchup.
No,
so,
Clippers, they smoke, though.
Yeah, well, they'll...
They would smoke them, and the Jazz, I think, would be a better test for the Warriors.
Slow it down defensively.
Yeah, I would love to see the Jazz.
The Jazz Warriors, a second round matchup, that would be good. But the thing with the Clippers and Jazz in the first round, even though the Jazz are ahead of them in fourth, and the Clippers are kind of slipping, they're losing iffy games here and there, is that they have the experience in the postseason. They're gonna get the calls from the refs. Chris Paul's gonna get that call. Blake Griffin's gonna get that call. They have, I think, the upper hand in coaching and Doc over Quinn Snyder. Even though I love Quinn Snyder there for the Jazz. I think the Clippers would win that first round series, and then the Warriors would sweep them probably.
Right.
Or five.
I think even the East, though, you make a good point, Will. I think that the The East is also really good this year. There are four legit teams in the East, and the second round is going to be a dogfight no matter who's in it. Like, imagine Isaiah Thomas against John Wall as a matchup in the second round. Like, that could go either way. And you look at the way the Wizards have been playing the second half of this year.
Well, I look forward to that Wizard-Bucks series.
I'm going to actually call it out right now. I think the Wizards emerge from the East.
Okay, so
hot take. Hot take.
Okay, so Dave's had a lot of hot takes this year.
Yeah, okay, so
you know, some of them have gotten pretty close to right, even
just
right.
Just throwing it out there. I mean,
he's the only one that said the Wiz would make the playoffs, so for him to even go full double down. And go
I think I picked them to finish fourth, too, so I'm looking all right now.
All right, well, okay, the Washington professional basketball team. Well,
it's going to go in there. You know what?
You can't say Wizards in
I think
Washington.
John Wall is just on another level right now. And Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, like they've got the shooting to win a series. And
Scotty Brooks, he's the real deal, evidently. Yes,
he's been solid.
That's it.
Next question. Was Draymond Green right to punch James Harden's injured
karate
wrist
chop,
like that, regardless of the pinch?
It's a dirty play. It's my opinion. Yeah. It's a dirty play. Nothing
Both
new
ways.
From Draymond. Nothing new from Draymond. He's a dirty player.
But
he does what it takes to win.
Pinching him, though.
What's that?
He pinched him, right?
Whatever.
Adolescent play.
Another thing to it's one thing to pinch a guy, which is also childish, but it's another thing to go after an injury like that.
Exactly.
Target an injury.
To go
is,
even lower than that?
And he knows. Like Draymond knows that his wrist is hurting.
I know, that's the craziest thing.
Draymond isn't a classy guy, okay? I'm just throwing it out there. He likes to kick guys in the dick, so.
That's true.
I don't know.
It's
this
not
is nothing new
time.
From him.
Yeah, it's not the first time it's happened for him. It's not the first time it's happened in the NBA, but I don't agree with it. You don't, like.
You shouldn't want to intentionally injure guys.
Exactly.
It's so
yeah.
classless.
If it wasn't that wrist, then whatever. You're retaliating for whatever annoying thing James Harden is doing. The fact that it was that specific wrist.
You're going to go after Embiid's feet next?
Yeah.
Exactly. Maybe pinch him back.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That'd be weird. Purple.
Yeah, Harden, I guess, shouldn't be doing that in the first place, but Draymond, be the bigger man.
You're a star, too, man. Kids look up to you.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Don't hit him back. Not on the wrist or anything. Just tell him you'll stop pinching me.
Shut him down defensively, which they did, and beat him.
Exactly,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good, and that should be good enough for Draymond.
Give him a tug on the beard.
Don't pinch the guy.
Yeah.
Next bit, let's go.
Can see it.
Hall of Fame. Are we okay with Tracy McGrady in the Hall of Fame, the only champion, a non-champion in this class?
Suppose I'm okay with it as a Raptors fan, but as like a fan of basketball, I want a higher standard for the Hall
but
of Fame.
But he was never a Raptor, really. He's not going to go in as a Raptor. Well, he'd probably go in as a Rocket, really.
He won't go in as a Raptor, that's for sure. But I think that it's a bit of a stretch to let these guys who... At one point in his career, McGrady was one of the best players in the league, and that's his biggest thing in his on his resume for me, is that he was a top five player for a couple of years. I don't think that's enough to make the Hall of Fame. It's going to get to the point where every NBA All-Star makes the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean. Like Weber never – did Weber win a championship?
No.
Yeah, I think that Weber is an easier pick.
So that means that would you put him in next? You know what I mean? So
he got passed up on this time, but...
it opens the gates for a lot of players who've never won a championship.
Dave brings up a good point. He's not going to go in as a Raptor, but he is going to ask Isaiah Thomas to be the one to induct him. And Isaiah Thomas is the one that picked him with a ninth pick in the 1997 draft. So...
That's right.
Yeah.
Probably the best thing that Isaiah Thomas did for the Toronto Raptors organization.
I think McGrady's a marginal selection. I think his cousin Vince is a slam dunk. There's no question.
Oh, Vince Carter is
100%
ballot. Yeah.
Exactly. He had a couple good of those dunk moves.
Well, T-Mac, the moments that stand out, obviously he scored in bunches, led the league twice, two-time scoring champion.
Yeah.
That All-Star dunk competition after a few years off. Against his cousin Vince Carter was something spectacular in 2000. And obviously you can't ignore the 13 points in 30 or 33 seconds against the Spurs to win that game as a Rocket. But the knock on him is that he never made it out of the first round until he came back from China and signed with the Spurs, and they went all the way to the finals and lost in Game 7 to the Heat. But he didn't really play that much either.
He was a big player on that team, for sure.
Yeah, but he could never make it out of the first round. Always injured. Or Yao was hurt when they had the teams when he was in Orlando. Grant Hill was hurt. Tim Duncan, they had a chance to get him, but he re-signed in San Antonio. So,
he may be a victim of circumstance. I just don't know if you can give him a Hall of Fame bid for that.
He'll definitely be the first double-star Eagle going in.
It's a
but,
distinction,
you know, two-time first team, three-time second team, two-time All-NBA third team. You know, Reggie Miller, he was only on the All-NBA third team three times, but he has 25,000 career points, so... And he's second all-time in three-pointers.
Right, Reggie
has a good resume as well, but just like someone to compare him as, I guess. And Reggie did go to one finals, and he did win a couple of playoff series on his own, I believe, so...
Maybe not the best example,
but those are kind of players that, totally, you know... Yeah. Put alongside each other who didn't, because you know when you win a championship and you're that guy, like there was no doubt even if you didn't win a title, Allen Iverson, there was no doubt he was going to be
course,
a Hall of Famer,
for sure.
Vince Carter, he didn't win a championship, no doubt he's going to be a Hall of Famer,
for sure.
You know what I mean? Dirk only has one title, there's no doubt he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
I don't think a title is the measurement. I think
sustained
success
helps
at the top of the league.
But whose career would you rather have, like a Steve Kerr, not counting coach, like Steve Kerr being that shooter off the bench, getting all those championships with the Bulls, or would you rather have Steve Nash never winning the championship and getting two MVPs?
I think just based on salary, I'd rather be Steve Nash. But,
but other than that, just talking for accolades alone, would you rather
but
have?
But Nash was a two-time MVP, and he's, I think, second or third all-time in career assists.
I know, but still, how are you going to count it for... So what do you want? Do you want those ships, or do you want those MVPs?
Personally, you play the game rings. For championships. Yeah, yeah. You play for rings.
Because I'll tell you right now, Nash would trade... both those MVPs.
Of course.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%. You want the championships.
For sure.
So no question. That's just interesting. Right before we leave, last question for you guys. It's WrestleMania tonight.
Yes.
It's WrestleMania season. You can feel it in the air. My question is to you, which NBA player would be the best professional wrestler?
Shaquille O'Neal. I could flip you. I'm going to say The Undertaker would look great in the NBA.
Man, Undertaker
he would be a
would be
beast. Him and Kane, the Twin Towers.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
Shaq has had a few matches, right?
He was supposed to wrestle Big Show tonight, but he got too fat. Big Show was in shape. Big Show's got the abs now and all that stuff.
I saw that, yeah.
So he's in shape. But
big
feller. But Shaq was supposed to, he might make an appearance tonight. We'll see. But yeah, who do you think right now on this current rosters of the National Basketball Association do you have going in the WWE?
I have a couple of things. We mentioned these guys last week. I'd love to see the Lopez brothers.
Robin Lopez, I think
they would have like a solid persona.
Great
they, it's
true.
Exactly.
Well, Robin Lopez does fight like every mascot in the NBA, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And also Joel Embiid, I think he'd be hilarious as a professional wrestler.
Because I guess Draymond would be a heel, right? He'd be a big heel wrestler. Everyone
definitely.
Would hate him.
Definitely.
That'd be the best bet. But I think LeBron, I would be an amazing wrestler as well. Just
wow. Yeah.
How big
I think
is.
Maybe Isaiah Thomas, the small guy, you know, jumping off
the
rope.
He could be the
Rey Mysterio.
Oh, man. That's another good one. I like that.
Exactly. So that's a good option. But yeah, that's so many things in WrestleMania for
but I think I think like Ric Flair, Stone Cold, and The Rock, that match tonight is going to be amazing.
Oh man,
just kidding.
The Nature Boy.
I think like WrestleMania 10.
You guys might have a bit of a party.
Mr. Perfect, maybe.
Mr. Perfect passed away, sadly. Yeah.
Ooh. Dave.
Not perfect.
I mean, Elias, what are you thinking about? It's radio. They can't tell.
I was Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Woo!
That's right.
Ric Flair's still alive?
Yeah,
that's my
going.
Question.
He's got a statue, didn't he?
Hey,
good for him.
This weekend. Yeah, the Flair statue.
Good for him.
Woo!
Woo!
And he's in the Wrestling Hall of Fame, right? Twice.
That's right, twice over as a fourth horseman and by himself.
People say wrestling's faked. How many friggin' wrestlers from my childhood have passed away? That's the big question.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing fake about it, okay? Good
no,
Lord.
True. So many have gone and come and gone.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
to them, but definitely it's fake. Remember, guys, you can get a hold of us by email at the3nikki@gmail.com. Listen, I'm not hating. You guys can still watch wrestling. Will's a big guy.
It's all
he
good.
Loves it. Watch it.
I think I'll survive. With
WrestleMania Sorry, tonight. Will. the3nikki@gmail.com. Email us. Hit us up anytime. Also, Facebook, 3nikki. Follow on Twitter at BasketPod. Instagram, the3nikki. And you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and, of course, on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes and Google Play as well. Check out the website. It has everything there. 3inthekey.ca. For Dave Tripp, Will Macklin, and Fuad Ahad, I'm Elias El Zain. Peace.